Dan, good afternoon to everybody. Thank you very much for being on this call. Very important call. I'll move this back just so perhaps maybe you can hear me a little bit better. As always, I start off the call thanking everybody involved, the front lines, cashiers, cleaning people, everybody involved in helping us fight this pandemic. Today, there's a special call to the Living Space personnel who are handling 61 patrons 24/7 in three locations. As you can imagine, this is a tremendously difficult task, and they were doing it with professionalism and pride. So to all those individuals out there, thank you very much. We do have Chantel here from the Porcupine Health Unit, so we'll hand this over to her right off the bat. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Peary. So today, the Porcupine Health Unit wants to report that we have completed 811 tests so far. 593 of those are negative, 176 are pending, 21 cases have been resolved, and we still have a few deaths related to COVID. Today we are reporting that we have three new cases of COVID-19 among our residents in the Health Unit area. First case is a male in his 60s, the second is a male in his 30s, and the third is a female in her 60s. All of these individuals were tested on April 15th, which was on the Monday. So the current number of confirmed positive cases is now 42. The Ontario government has extended its declaration of emergency for a further 28 days. It will be ended on May 12th unless it is reassessed at that time. All of the current orders under this declaration continue to be in effect. The closures of schools, non-essential services, bars, restaurants, etc., all continue. Parks, recreational facilities all continue to be closed until the end of the declaration of emergency. Yesterday, the Government of Canada updated their mandatory requirements for travelers entering Canada. So any travel entering Canada, whether they have symptoms or not, will not be allowed to self-isolate or quarantine themselves with another individual who is vulnerable. So that means anyone over the age of 65 or those with other medical conditions. These individuals are at higher risk for severe illness, and we need to protect them as much as possible. So starting today, individuals will not be able to self-isolate with these individuals. The Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Catton, continues to urge everyone to work together to stop the spread of COVID-19. Stay home as much as possible. Only go out for your essential errands, such as groceries, getting your prescriptions, or medical care. Do not visit loved ones or friends outside of our immediate household. We need to further protect our individuals who are older, so are 60 or 70 older. Please let them know if they are not aware that they should stay at home. And if you can, run their errands for them. We are asking them not to leave their home or to run essential errands. We are depending on the community. So reach out to your older neighbors, your older friends, or your parents. Connect with them by phone or by video conference if they are able to make sure that they're okay and to help them with any of their needs that they need. We do have assessment centers across the area. We have reported before that we do have assessment centers in Timmins, Iroquois Falls, Cochrane, Traffic Casing. We are hoping that the assessment center in Hearst will be up and running this week. We are still depending on our emergency medical services to assist us with testing in our branch offices, as well as in Timmins on occasion, depending on the need. We thank them very much for this collaboration. Their support is very important when responding to COVID-19. Our phone lines are open today. They are open from 8:30 to 7:30, Monday to Friday. You can also call your community, your local community health unit office if you want to speak to a staff person about COVID. So please be physically distant, but socially connected. Stay home if you're not feeling well. Wash your hands often and stop the spread. Stay home, stay well, be kind. We're all in this together.
All right, thank you, Chantel. Like usual, we'll ask if there's any questions before Chantel. Okay, hearing none, then we'll move on to the Timmins and District Hospital.
Good afternoon, it's Kaylee Russell with the Timmins and District Hospital. So we would like to sincerely thank the community for all of their efforts and donations to the Timmins and District Hospitals so far during the COVID pandemic. On behalf of the Timmins and District Hospital Foundation, in an effort to streamline the personal protective equipment, PPE, and monetary donations, the Timmins and District Hospital Foundation will now be the first point of contact for all public inquiries for donations. If you have PPE that you would like to donate, please send an email to foundation@tadh.com, or you can call them at 705-360-6039 so that they can evaluate the suitability of the products for use by the Timmins and District Hospital. They will be looking for if healthcare workers are indeterminate if the donation meets the safety requirements and standards for the itemized list. As always, we are still responding to inquiries from the public, so if you do have any questions, please reach out to us at 705-267-2131 or by email at generalinquiries@tadh.com. Stay safe, stay home unless it's essential, and please remember to wash your hands often. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Kaylee. Next, we'll go to the Cochrane DSAP. Brian Marks, is there a message today?
Yes, there is. Thanks, Dave. Good afternoon. Emergency medical services, we conducted 32 calls with 18 in Timmins. Seven of those failed the screening process. Homelessness, again, we continue to house 60 individuals across three locations, and as mentioned by Mayor Peary. Children's services, we are currently working through the application procedure with four service providers in the ministry to open emergency child care in Timmins for our emergency health care workers. We hope to have final approval shortly to begin taking applications from eligible workers early next week. For the Youth Wellness Hub, in order to enhance support for youth in the city of Timmins, the hub will be increasing its Instagram live events to four times per week, starting on April 20th. 3:30 p.m. Monday through Thursdays. Peer mentors will co-host events that offer youth opportunities to connect with each other, participate in facilitated activities, and learn tips and tools for self-care and coping with stress. We'll also have counselors available. There'll also be daily posts on the Youth Wellness Hub Facebook and Instagram, in addition to a live calendar updated every Monday. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Brian. Next, we'll go to Chief Walker.
Good afternoon, everybody. First of all, I want to, again, give a shout-out to the first responders and the hospital workers. Again, we appreciate all you do. We know this has been a process and will continue to be a longer process as we go forward. But again, much thanks. From a municipal emergency management perspective, we continue to meet with our control group and partners three times a week. The emergency operations team that we have set up from a city perspective meets daily. We have daily updates. We have daily communications. And again, people will start noticing in the community, even though we've announced this before, that you'll start seeing signs on playgrounds. So I believe 54 or 57 playgrounds as we speak have been signed and are closed, but all 57 are closed and will have signage very shortly. I wanted to update a little bit on the PPE front. So from an EMS, Timmins Police Service, Timmins Fire Department, and Golden Manor, right now we have no short-term issues as it relates to PPE, but that doesn't mean that we don't have some challenges. So again, we continue to source from local suppliers. We continue to source from government agencies and affiliations. And again, there's a need as we move forward for surgical masks, N95 masks, gowns, and face shields. And again, we have a lot of people from a variety of different suppliers who continues to sell us to send us stuff daily. But again, it's the availability of these products and the ability to be able to get them delivered to Timmins. But I do want to say that from a City of Timmins perspective, just to give some perspective to this, and we have these orders out to a variety of different suppliers locally and externally. And so we right now have close to 40,000 N95 masks on order. We have 60 face shields on order. And we have close to 90,000 surgical masks, as well as we are waiting for the donation from Lakeshore Gold, who are too waiting for their shipment to come in. So again, in the short term, no major issues, but we continue to look at this from a long-term perspective, and we need to continue to work with all our agencies, partners, and local suppliers to be able to source it. Again, thanks very much.
All right, thank you, Chief. From here, we'll go to the media for some questions.
Yes, hi there. It's Sergio from CTV here. Could I be able to pose a question to Mayor Pierce?
Okay, go ahead, Sergio.
Sure. So I was wondering, Mr. Peary, if you'd be able to provide any update or any clarification on your potential plans for imposing a curfew on Timmins. I know you talked about it yesterday and that council is in favor of it. So can you provide any update on your plans for that?
Yeah, that question has been out there for, a week or 2 weeks. Whenever we declared the state of emergency, I think that we declared the state of emergency April 3rd. It was brought up then. I had promised to basically ask the community through the councillors, and I just asked them last night what their thoughts were, and they provided their thoughts. Ultimately, that decision rests here in consultation with the police chief and others. So it's an item always actively under consideration. We didn't feel it was required, and we were justified not applying it over the Easter weekend. So it's just to get that constant feedback as to how the community feels about that question.
Okay. So in terms of as you sort of mull over that decision, is there anything that the community should consider doing right now until there's a final decision on that curfew?
Obviously, the citizens in the community should just be doing what we've asked them to do, and what the health unit has been asking them to do, what the province has been asking them to do, and the federal government has been asking them to do, and that's obviously stay 6 feet apart, cough into your sleeve, wash your hands, be respectful, and kind, don't lose your civility. We've got bylaw officers out there now that are helping with this. I have to say that, in my opinion, the community has responded tremendously well. I cruise by grocery stores all the time, and the LCB store before Easter weekend, I thought was in really good shape. People, again, knowing the circumstances, doing the right thing. I've commended the vendors, the shop owners, the storekeepers, and how they've handled this, and I've commended the citizens for the most part. For the most part, it's been handled very, very well.
Okay. I don't want to take up too much more of anybody else's time, but I'm just as a final follow-up. At this point, would you recommend that community members consider staying home past 9 or 10 p.m. considering right now that it would be their choice to do so until a final decision is made about the curfew?
I think they are anyway. As I say, the message has been out there for quite some time to stay home. There has been, I think there was 5 calls Sunday that were COVID-19 related in relation to, backyard parties and stuff like that. So it's been very, very, very well respected. The chief, Goche, we talk every single morning, and he gives me feedback on what's happening in the community from that point of view, that the call in relation to excess gatherings. And he's not raising any red flags to me right now.
Okay, thanks very much.
It's Bob at Moose FM. If I could follow up with some questions for the mayor too, please. Your worship, can you talk about any details on what a curfew would entail? You know, what time it would start at, what time it would be lifted in the morning? Is this a health issue? Would it be enforced by public health, or would it be enforced by police or by law? There's, you know, the little talk of it so far has raised a lot of questions in a lot of minds.
Yeah, the curfew, again, we've solicited impact from, or I'm sorry, input from the operations in the area. Shift work is a factor. It would be a police matter. We don't have bylaw officers working 24/7. And as I said, it is something that is still very much under consideration.
Okay, but what would the intent of this be? Is it just to keep people off the streets and to cut down on crime, or is it to prevent the spread of COVID?
Well, it's only about COVID-19.
Okay, but it would be the police enforcing it.
Yeah, they're the ones that be out there on the shifts and enforcing it. There was some mention last night about helping with control of young people, you know, in cars out late at night. Haven't had a huge hue and cry from that part on anybody. It's just something that we want to keep in touch with within the community to see what their feeling is. But as I say right now, from a police point of view, it hasn't been something that they would recommend putting in place.
The police are not recommending it?
No, they're not recommending it, no.
Okay. Now, if you did go ahead with it, would it be 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., or have you worked that detail out yet?
We haven't worked any details out yet.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay. Is there any other questions for anybody? I do want to comment again on the civility piece. I know you've heard from me every single day about the basic rules. We have asked for input from individuals within the community, and I want to read a note to you that we received that's very well written. To all the people who might see this, it was sent in, everything is going to be okay. I know you are scared for what may happen, but remember, you're not alone. Everyone is scared and distressed during these uncertain times. COVID-19 has shook everyone to their core. It's scary not to be able to do what you were able to do before, but not everything was taken away. You can still contact your families and friends and family with ease. You can still go outside. You can still take care of yourself. In the times, it is crucial that we take care of our physical, mental, and emotional health. Everyone's mental health has been wrecked because of this, but we can get through this. Taking the time to heal your mental and emotional health will help you a lot. Your well-being and others' well-being is of utmost importance. Remember, you need to look out for yourself. You can help others by staying away from others on the streets and in stores. It is extremely difficult, but this is how it will be. This is how we'll beat this virus. Don't be afraid to reach out for help if you need to, or if you have to take some time off work. It's the same for every e-learning. If you need to take a break for a little bit while completing assignments, do it. Everyone needs a break sometimes. Your mental health is more important than school or work. Keep trying your best, stay safe, and wash your hands. And that was sent in by Isabel Jamison, and she's 13 years old. So there's a teenager that gets it. So be kind out there and be considerate, and listen to the wisdom of Isabel Jamison. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Mayor Perry, and thank you to the members of the media for joining us this morning.